All right, man. What's up?
Just rolling down for the Hunt Expo. It's going to be sweet. Busy this year.
Well, you seem super excited about it.
It's trade show life right now in the hunting industry. So back to back to back. And this is the last one every year.
Yeah.
And it's always...
It's the biggest one too, right?
It's the biggest one.
Yeah.
It's great. I think the industry is ready for like show season to wrap up by the end of February because there's been so many in a row.
Yeah.
But other than that, everyone's pumped. It'll be good to see everyone.
Yeah. I imagine for you teaching... I mean, you teach everybody, but specifically having programs to teach hunters to become more capable physically around this time period is good because it's enough time to prepare for their September, October hunts.
For sure. Yeah, we always talk about for a hunter that's going to go on a backcountry trip, whether that's a sheep hunt, a goat hunt, Colorado elk, Utah elk, ideally at a bare minimum, they should be looking at preparing for 16 weeks, 4 months. And that would be absolutely like minimum to thrive in the backcountry. So people will get by and survive with 30 days or 2 months of training on the elliptical. But if someone really wants to thrive, they need to think about like a 4 month mission specific program to get ready for that hunt. And then anything in addition to that is icing on the cake. So the best scenario is someone training like a pro athlete where they're training seasonally. So post-season strength in the off-season and then spring and then go into mission-specific prep. So for a hunter, that mission-specific prep has to start in May if they're going to hunt in September.
A minimum of May.
A minimum, yeah.
When you line out a four-month program, for example, backcountry elk hunting. I mean, I shot a backcountry elk in the Sawtooth in Idaho, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, it was brutal. I was with Mark Warnicky of Pack Goats, and he's like the fittest human being on the planet. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's a hunt. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Until we got there and I realized how brutal of terrain it is. And that hunt lasted 4 days. And I finally shot in the last moment my bull, my young bull, which is behind you mounted, from 75 yards off a knee in like low light right before it got dark. And it was like such an incredible experience. But I was not prepared.
I wasn't for the pack
prepared.
Out.
I wasn't prepared for any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, even the pack in, because our base camp was low and we had to go high every morning.
Mm-hmm.
From the elevation to the terrain to just the overall. I mean, one day we walked 9 hours and never saw anything, but we got up at base camp, went into high ground, walked up and down the ridge lines, and then came out of it to eat dinner, sleep for a couple hours. And do it all over again.
Yeah.
Which is standard of a backcountry elk hunt. It's just the Sawtooth is a different specimen.
Yeah.
And so what are the pillars that you focus on in a fitness program for something like that?
So for something like that, for high elevation, rugged terrain, backcountry hunting, Mountain Tough for a long time has been focusing on several pillars. But before I break those down, you kind of nailed it for sure. One thing that makes a backcountry hunter one of the most unique athletes in the world, if we classify them as athletes, is the extended length of the event. So pro football, pro soccer, anything that's a professional sport. And then if you go into the military is going to be the closest. But most of the pro sporting events, the event where you're physically on high demand is way shorter than a backcountry hunt. So most of these backcountry hunts are 3, 5, 7 to 10 days. And you need to be able to perform well on that 7th and 8th day, the same as you did on the first day. And then usually your hardest amount of work is after you're successful. And that's on the last day. And so that factor makes a backcountry hunter, unlike any other athlete in the world from a training perspective, because they need to be physically fit for 3, 5, or 7 days on the mountain. And they need to have a reserve in the tank for the biggest workload is going to happen on the back end of that event. And a lot of folks don't understand, who haven't been, but if you're on a solo backcountry hunt, which is slightly rare, but most people are hunting in groups of 2 or 3. So if you get an elk down with one buddy, you're on the ground after you butcher that elk, you're going to have approximately 4 100-pound loads. Mm-hmm. And so if you harvest that elk on day 7 and now you're getting 400-pound loads off the mountain, usually they're coming off the mountain 3, 5 to 10 miles back to the truck. Mm-hmm. So you gotta bring 100 pounds out 5 miles, go back in light, come back out again with 100 pounds. So the demands are very unique compared to training for any other sport. So the number one pillar based on the demands of that extended event, for sure, that Mountain Tough focuses on is mental toughness, because mm-hmm. it's really the mind that's going to get someone to thrive on day 7, 8, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. And so scientifically, we do a lot on mindset and mental toughness, but then performance wise, we break down, you know, the cardio system, then the endurance system. Muscular endurance is huge, because you can be really, really strong, but if you can't move that weight for an extended period of time, you're going to struggle in the backcountry. Mm. And then probably the most important one that we've seen over the last couple of years is single leg strength and stability. So in the gym, typically an athlete is doing some deadlifts, they're doing some squats. Even if they're doing goblet squats with a kettlebell or dumbbell and they're off the barbell, a lot of training that you're going to see around the world is 2 feet on the ground balanced, which is never going to happen at all in the backcountry or in the real world. And so when you start training with single leg strength and stability, so you're doing a lot of like Bulgarian lunges, a lot of split lunges, you're doing a lot of single leg step ups to get your body to start functioning under that ability of one leg's doing all the work. That's where people really start seeing those game changers, for sure.
Yeah, it's a couple things stand out. When I did that hunt, I wasn't at my peak fuel. Like, one, it's because of the endurance. At day 2 and day 3, you're not eating like you normally do. Mm-hmm. So all the things start compounding themselves. It's almost like, it's like team week in selection, or like buds, where everything's degrading. And in that environment, unless you've really prepared, you don't have a game plan for nutrition, you're not going to come out on top. You're going to bonk. You're going to potentially fall out. And water is not going to get it done. I also realized in that, you know, just like in selection, going up and down the mountains, like, you need that stability. Mm-hmm. But that stability is facilitated by good boots, good socks, good kit, all these things that, like, we pay attention to a baseline of fitness. And I've realized, like, everything, it's the culmination of all these things that make you optimized, or, you know, at the top of your game.
For sure.
In that incident. And you're right, man, at the very end of it, it's the most difficult, because you hunted and you almost feel like the work's over. We did it and the work's just beginning. Mm-hmm. Because that's not, it's like, oh my God, this beautiful shot. It's like, oh, we have to take this thing off the mountain. I mean, my last hunt this last season in Wyoming, I shot a cow with a buddy of mine with my kids. Mm-hmm. And we both packed out 130-pound rucks each. Now, it wasn't in severe terrain like it is in Idaho, but still, it's 130 pounds.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't experienced that.
They haven't.
And yeah.
I mean, I'm 240 pounds soaking wet, and I'm carrying that going, dude, this is insane. I can't imagine, if you're not in shape, if you don't have muscular strength and endurance. I can't even imagine. What do you guys recommend for nutrition protocols for all the things that you guys do tied to your workouts and then preparing for backcountry?
Yeah, the nutrition is super interesting because we, at Mountain Tough, we separated out for training nutrition, nutrition when you're not in the backcountry, and then backcountry nutrition. We treat them as two separate topics because you are spot on that the calories you're going through in the backcountry is at such a crazy level. You're burning so much that if you're not paying attention to that and not prepared for that, you are going to bonk. And a lot of people bonk and it ends up being, it can definitely be like a life-threatening situation. Mm. You see it a lot where someone who was maybe not in the right physical condition and didn't fuel properly, when they bonk on the mountain, it turns into panic pretty quick. Mm. So we've done a few studies on calorie demands of backcountry hunters. So like 200-pound males in the backcountry with 50-pound packs. So that's just with their camp. They're going in light and they're burning 8,000 to 12,000 calories a day, depending on the day. So that's like in the Montana backcountry, getting into camp, depending on if you're off trail or on trail, and depending on your elevation gain and loss, you can assume kind of that 8,000 to 12,000 calories a day. And if you're out of shape, you're burning more because you're people that are physically fit are they're at a suboptimal level. Mm-hmm. So someone's 80% might be someone who's out of shape. That's their 100%. And so the better physical condition you are in for that environment, the less calories you're going to burn. But just think about that range of 8,000 to 12,000. That's hard to eat in town. So if you're in town, it would be difficult to put 8,000 to 12,000 calories in your body. Mm. So now in the backcountry, you have to try to bridge that deficit with dehydrated food and lightweight food because you can't put a bunch of heavy food in your pack either. But what we found is the best way to think about it is when you're going into the backcountry, you have to manage that deficit. Mm. And the better you can manage the...
It's going to be a deficit for sure, but just managing the best you can.
You can't eliminate that deficit. You want to manage it. So you want to, if you're going 7 days in the backcountry, you want to build a food kit that's going to get you about 4,000 calories a day. It's hard to go over that without your pack being just absurd with the amount of food that's in it. Mm. But if you're going 4,000 calories a day for 5, 6, 7 days, put that load out in your pack day by day and make sure that you eat that food. Because that's another thing that happens is a lot of hunters will pack 4,000, but it's hard to eat that much. And when you're hunting and hiking, it's hard to think about eating. So a lot of people forget. So you got to manage that deficit. And having a 2,000 or 3,000 calorie deficit each day is better than a 4 or 5. Mm. Because it's that multiple day extreme deficit that leads to that bonk. Mm. So we have a whole program on that in the app on preparing for the backcountry and building your kit with spreadsheets to manage that deficit depending on how long your trip is, your pack weight, your body weight, and your elevation. But it's a game changer for sure. And then, you know, there's tweaks on making sure that it's the right food as well. So your body's going to be burning glucose like crazy in the backcountry, which is going to be your short burning fuel, but then it's going to be looking for fat because most of your hiking is at a low heart rate. Mm. So you're in fat burning mode when you're hiking because you're not sprinting, but you are power hiking, and that's your fat burning cardio zone. Mm. So it's lots of cals, it's lots of glucose and lots of fat in the backcountry. But then that you have to eat completely different when you're training. And our nutrition programs in Mountain Tough are built around educating people in town how to build their own nutrition plan based on their goals and objectives. And then after that, ours is really simple because nutrition is pretty simple to us at Mountain Tough in terms of its input versus how much you're burning that day. And then, you know, if you want to gain weight, you got to tweak those numbers. If you want to lose weight, you got to tweak those numbers. And then we just back it up with a whole foods approach.
Yeah, because I imagine, like in my case, I would be trying to lean out a little bit mm-hmm. and maintaining muscle. So I would have higher protein, maybe lower carbohydrates, maybe running a calorie deficit a little bit to manage weight versus somebody who's getting into it who might be a lighter guy. They need to pack on the calories.
For sure.
Because they need to pack on the pounds potentially. And I've always noticed, you know, it's nice to have muscle on your body because strength, especially over time, the older you get, is essential in stabilization. I mean, the statistics on people who are over 70 are they're mostly dying because they're falling, hitting their head, breaking their hip, and that leads to compounding issues. So I think that's super essential. But I wished at the time in Idaho I had like 20 pounds less on me. Mm-hmm. And I lost 15 pounds because I was running such a high deficit. But I also noticed I was constantly super dehydrated because I wasn't taking the right supplementation. I've activated with Wolf 21, my company that does kind of health and wellness, to look at doing a supplement that's like a lighter. I love Element. It's one of my favorite supplements.
Yeah.
But I want a lighter version of that for hydration and training versus Element's probably going to be my go-to on a hunt. Hey guys, if you know Phil Kraft Survival, if you know Mike Force, if you know me, then you likely know about Montana Knife Company. Montana Knife Company was founded by a buddy of mine, Josh Smith, master bladesmith for 30 years. One of the most experienced knife makers in the country. And he's had no compromise and all the integrity because he's making all of his knives. He's made that decision early on, by the way, to make all of his knives made in the USA, manufactured locally in his home state of Montana. Designed, tested, and built by hunters, Montana Knife Company is a hunting knife company first and foremost. Likely the sharpest knives in the market. I mean, you likely need a bleeding control kit if you're going to own a Montana knife, and that's a good problem to have. They sell out instantaneously. But for the first time in the history of his company, because he's gotten ahead, he has stock of your favorite knives, including the Blackfoot 2.0, the Speed Goat, or the Stonewall Skinner. And you could save 10% by using MF10. That's Mike Foxtrot 10, MF10, for 10% off your first order at MontanaKnifeCompany.com. What are your hydration tactics fitting into nutrition for somebody to stay kind of optimized or dialed in?
Yeah, I mean, hydration is key. I think like in town on that training phase, people definitely should be thinking about that gallon per day. Mm. And that gallon per day it's easy to do once you get used to it. It sounds intimidating to a lot of people at first, like a gallon per day. But if you break that up across the day, then your body actually starts to crave it. And that ends up being pretty easy to execute on while people are in town training, just making sure that they're drinking water like right when they wake up instead of going for that coffee right away. I mean, go for your Element and like 30 ounces of water right away. And then go.
Is that the recommendation? 30 ounces out the gate?
Off the gate, yeah.
Okay. I do a smaller bottle, I think, is 16 to 20 ounces.
Yeah.
I always stage one by my bed, and I do that immediately, but I'll increase that. So 30 ounces out the gate, huh?
Yeah. Okay. And that's a game. Like, just that hack alone is a game changer for a lot of people.
Metabolism, all the things, right?
Because your body, like, you just slept for 8 hours burning through your water and your food. And then if you go right to coffee, which, you know, I did for 20 years, most people do, like, the second they wake up, you want that cup of coffee. But if you go to the water and the electrolytes first, it's a complete game changer, like firing up all those systems. And then just have your coffee like an hour or two later.
Yeah, I think Huberman's recommendation is if you get up like at 8, do it 2 hours. So do it at 10 after you get blue rays in the eyes and then drink water. And an Element would be good as well, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and it's crazy how good you feel when you just make that simple change into your system, because then you're hydrated for that whole morning section of your day and just ready to rock. The backcountry hydration is a completely different ball game. So backcountry hydration, for sure, you're going to try to consume that gallon a day if you can, but you have to be looking for more. But each hunt is going to present these different challenges where a lot of these backcountry hunts, water is a problem that you're navigating around each and every day. And so on many, many backcountry hunts, you're going to run into situations where you can't be crushing water all day. It's heavy on your pack. And then there's so many backcountry hunt locations where finding enough water is difficult, especially if your base camp is away from water. You're burning through all that water to cook your dehydrated meals. So I think for hunters, it's get as much as you can. We know each and every hunt is different. And then managing those electrolytes, a lot of the ultra marathoning community kind of taught us how to do that, because if you are on a 100-mile ultra and you're hitting electrolytes at every one of those aid stations, over the years, what we found is that you actually are throwing your pH balance out of whack. So most people are low on electrolytes, generally Americans are. So drinking your electrolytes each morning is a game changer. But when you get into those extended events like a hunt or an ultra, if it's electrolytes every time, then people actually run into issues. They run into issues also if they drink water every time without electrolytes. So it's kind of like a balanced approach is the way to go. Not always water and not always electrolytes. So think about it like every other time getting those electrolytes on the mountain.
Yeah, I've noticed, I've been on both sides of the spectrum doing endurance athlete stuff, and when your pH balance is messed up, gastrointestinal issues, I mean, you're likely to bonk either way. I mean, I've had issues where I've had too much oral rehydration salts in me, and then water passes through me, and just the same as it does when you're dehydrated. And then I've been on the other side of that where the army solution to everything, including headaches, was like, drink more water. Yeah. And you're like, what? Drink more water? And then you would chug water. In basic training, they used to make us chug a quart of water every morning to kickstart the day. And if you don't have those salts or those salt through foods, which we didn't, then you were literally washing away all of your electrolytes. And there was always an imbalance. So is there a particular supplement that you guys recommend, that you guys work with, or that you understand to be kind of the solution to hydration in the field?
So we did partner with Mountain Ops, and we actually partnered with them on their Hydrate product, which is going to be similar to a Element.
Yeah.
It's going to be closer to like a liquid IV with less sugar than the liquid IV.
Yeah.
So liquid IV has that like hydration multiplier technology in it. Mountain Ops Hydrate has the same, but liquid IV had too much sugar for us to feel comfortable with it. So the Hydrate is going to be like a liquid IV with less sugar. And then it's going to be like an Element with a little less salt. So it's kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, I love Element, but that's my only problem with Element is it's like the concentrate. I mean, you could partition it, but even the small pouch and a 20-ounce thing of water is pretty strong. So I end up doing one of those every morning, but I want to be able to do that throughout the day at like a quarter or a third of the overall.
That salt's heavy, yeah.
Yeah,
that one.
We talked about nutrition, talk about hydration. I kind of want to get into a little bit of business talk with you on what your vision was in the beginning of this, and if that vision is in line with where you're at now, or is it completely something different? And you started, you had a vision, you had an idea, and here we are years later, and we're likely in a different position, because that's typically how it works.
Yeah.
Is it everything that you envisioned it would be?
Man, that's awesome you're asking that, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, because there are so many evolutions that it's really interesting to think about that in hindsight. So Mountain Tough started as me completely alone in Bozeman without a plan B at all. And so the long backstory took my wife and I to Africa, and we were working in Uganda, and we thought that we were going to be there for the next 10 or 15 years. And my wife ended up getting pregnant in Uganda, and we came home to have our first daughter delivered in Bozeman. And we were naive. It was our first child, so we thought she would be born in Bozeman, and we'd probably stay with family for like 6 weeks and then head back over to Uganda to go back to work. And when we realized, when my daughter was born, that taking care of a child and just kind of protecting and providing for a child, you realize that like as soon as you hold your first kid. Mm. We quickly realized that flying right back over to Africa with the safety concerns, the health concerns, wasn't going to happen. But we were so committed that we were, that we were back in Bozeman without jobs. And I had been dreaming of this Mountain Tough concept for a long time. So I'm a lifelong Montana kid. All I did growing up with my uncles, I had seven uncles, and we just traveled all over camping, hunting, fishing. And then as I got into those high school years, it was archery, elk hunting was our thing. And then that led me to becoming like a gym rat, but a gym rat specifically for being better in the backcountry. And then that kind of led me into the ultra marathon community combined with strength training to be better in the backcountry. And so I really knew that there was a huge blue ocean for someone to provide mission specific training for the backcountry hunter, because enough people had experienced being crushed by the mountain. But in 2016, when we started, no one was saying, here's a step-by-step plan so that doesn't happen to you. And so we essentially started with that step-by-step plan, and it was like the market was sitting there waiting for us to exist, because people had been to Colorado and been crushed, or a lot of people from the Midwest were intimidated to even go out west, and they didn't know really what to do to prep. But it started as bootstrap as it gets. I started training people in the back park behind my house. Started with three guys. I hung a flyer at the bow shop to get those three guys. And we were doing lunges through the soccer field and pull-ups on the monkey bars in the park. And then the park sessions just took off. So instead of three guys, we had like 20 guys in the morning, 20 guys at noon, 20 guys in the evening.
Oh, wow.
And then we went into a gym. Same thing. It was three Mountain Tough classes a day. And then it went online. But my vision in those early years, let's say my vision in year one and two, was definitely close to where we're at now. So my vision in year one and two was to be the best in the world in mission-specific training for the backcountry hunter, and to be the best in the world at helping those athletes and customers be more mentally tough. And I also knew in year one and two that we were going to take it globally. It was something that I was only going to build it if it was something that could scale. Mm. So I knew right away I didn't want just a brick and mortar gym in Bozeman, because then you are capping yourself at how many people can experience this Mountain Tough training. So even though we started in the park, for some reason, I knew that it was going to go digital so that we could get it out globally to the world. Mm. And we have followed that trajectory really well since 2016. So we're going into year eight right now with Mountain Tough. And it's still very close to my original vision. The things that have changed a lot, and I spent a lot of time thinking about and reflecting, like, are those good changes? Are they bad changes? Are they just a natural and organic part of business? I'm sure you run into the same thing. But our training now has options for beginner athletes, intermediate athletes, elite athletes, minimal gear, no gear, full gear. And those early years, it was a very elite level product. So it was hardcore training. And that's what I loved the most, was having people in a room and seeing really how hard can you push them? How far can we take this human performance concept? Because I think even now, 8 years later, as a society, as a global society, I still get the feeling that we've only scratched the surface of human potential. Mm. I feel like just in the last 2 years, we're discovering things that weren't even talked about in 2016. So vision now versus then, there are some differences on how we reach out to beginners, how we reach out to people that have never trained and are just getting into training, which is slightly different than that vision I had in 2016 of like a really elite level product and business. But I'm relatively okay with that, because I think that like we're all beginners at some point in our lives with something, and helping people walk that path and get them from that beginner level to that intermediate level to that elite level is the right thing to do. And I think that anyone who's getting more fit than they currently are is a good thing. I mean, the country is so soft right now. Like our country is so extremely soft. It is pretty scary how the general lack of fitness in like a 40-year-old male is right now in America, and how the ripple down effects of that are going to really hurt us in 10 and 20 years. That I think anything Mountain Tough can do to fight back against that is a good thing, even though it does butt up against that original vision sometimes. And just trying to reconcile that, I think, has been interesting.
Yeah, I imagine when you started training backcountry potential hunters, you know, even people who hadn't even hunted but wanted to use it as a bridge to kind of prepare for the hunt. Similarly to Philcraft, in my experience, is I realized the things we were teaching, even on a flat range or in the sim house or in the jiu-jitsu mats, that it wasn't specifically about a technical thing, because albeit scenario-based in some instances, it was making people better at a whole bunch of things, mm-hmm. including just life,
yeah.
right? So we were training people on the flat range, and they were going through this process, and it wasn't just about the technical proficiency or the inoculation and stress. It was about all the things, and those were applicable to life. They were becoming better people because of that.
Yeah.
Because I look at you guys' stuff, and you don't have to be a backcountry hunter to do the things on the app and get fitter, mm-hmm. to get better, and to build mental resilience, especially to learn about nutrition. All these things, they just make you a better person. And whether it's preparedness, whether it's hunting, whether it's just being a good human being overall, the start point is a foundation in health and wellness, which includes physical fitness. Have you noticed that in your journey? Are there people that are just doing it that aren't necessarily even thinking about a hunt? They just want to get in better shape?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, our big goal with our whole entire team right now is to change 100,000 lives by 2026. And we call it changing lives because that's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. People sign up for Mountain Tough, and we call it a positive bait and switch, because it's a bait and switch that I feel really good about. But someone will draw a Colorado elk tag this year, and they'll buy Mountain Tough, and they'll start that training. And they think they're training for that hunt in Colorado. But really, what is about to happen is their whole entire life is about to change. So they're all of a sudden going to become better fathers, better employees, better bosses, better mothers, better friends, because all that positive life change is going to start impacting them, because mentally they're getting more on the right track, and physically they're getting more on the right track. even though they think they're training for this hunt coming up in 4 months. So we see it every single day in the testimonials that we get. People are you know, battling cancer with Mountain Tough. They're battling depression with Mountain Tough, even though they're not hunters at all. They're still using Mountain Tough to kind of battle those demons and overcome those mountains. And that's been the really, really cool part about business and entrepreneurship is the original vision for sure was let's train some guys for these trips. But we quickly realized that it's way bigger than that. It's way deeper than that. It's really about that life change. And it works so extremely well because if you start training, now you start sleeping better. And there's no way, like the quickest way to change your life overnight is to get an extra hour of sleep. Mm. And then if you train in the morning, you're going to make eating and nutrition decisions at a higher level all day because it's like, well, I don't want to screw up that workout I did this morning. So I'm not going to choose the donut. I'm going to choose the eggs. Like, and so the positive snowball starts. Mm. And then especially when the training's at a level that is breaking down some mental barriers. So there's a difference between going to like a Globo gym and doing like buys and tries. If you do a workout that's actually turning your ceiling into a floor, then that mindset shift carries into your work life. It carries into your family life. So doing something that you thought might be impossible or you might fail at from a training perspective, then having like a hard discussion at work later that day isn't so hard anymore. And so the life change is dramatic. And I think to add to that, like if there's anyone in the world that's struggling right now listening to this with being like complacent, passive, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, the easiest way to address that quickly is to go spend 4 days in the backcountry. You don't have to be a hunter at all. But if you leave your phone at home and spend 4 days in a tent in the backcountry, a lot of our symptoms that we struggle with in town quickly go away. So the life change ripple effects have been really cool to watch.
Yeah, it's an amazing journey to watch ourselves, even from a partner perspective, watching you guys grow and evolve with us. Because I truly feel like you guys are changing and impacting people's lives in a positive way. And like you said, it's like the positive Trojan horse. You know, it's the scheme you could live with. It's like, ha ha, gotcha. You're just going to be healthier.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. We'll talk about this offline, but it's cool that we partnered with each other's applications because we have an online version teaching preparedness, but preparedness isn't preparedness without fitness and health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And so having you guys be the subject matter experts plugged into that and vice versa, where we're doing some things from a pillars of preparedness standpoint, hopefully do things later like, you know, backcountry first aid, you know, doing those classes on your app for the hunter who wants an all-inclusive experience is super impactful to the consumer who believes in the mission. I think,
yeah,
like your following, like your clients, they're bought in because they believe in the mission and they are part of something that they see making their lives better, which is making business satisfying. I mean, I don't think we would have a lot of purpose to wake up and drink 300 milligrams of Black Rifle coffee to crush it every single day again and again and again, working very hard if we didn't have that purpose behind us, you know?
Yeah, it's huge.
Hey guys, this podcast is brought to you by the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. You know we're big fans of survival, and survival always depends on one question. How prepared are you? Just like we work to be prepared to survive any situation, the USCCA trains you to be prepared and feel confident as a gun owner, especially if you ever need to use it in self-defense. I've been a member for over 3 years because not only do I get access to their online Protector Academy, where I can learn from experts on critical aspects of survival, such as how to shoot accurately under pressure and how to prepare for family and home defense planning, but I also get self-defense liability insurance in case I'm ever involved in a dangerous incident. There's a reason 800,000 American gun owners like myself trust them. So check them out at uscca.com/FCS to claim your risk-free benefits right now, as well as a free gift when you sign up. That's uscca.com/FCS. Thanks, guys.
Lastly, I want to talk about my personal circumstance, because selfishly, I want to get some consulting advice. I have committed on March 1st, out of all the programs, I could do them all, Andy Frisella's, Soft Guys programs, your program for me is the most viable because there are multiple entry points, which makes it more viable for me to progress versus coming into a position where I'm not ready for that yet. I could stair step it and progressively improve and see and track and do all the things of that improvement on my phone. I'm doing a surviving man show in Florida with a Navy SEAL, Mr. Mann, M-A-N-N. And I'm the co-host on that show. Sheriff Mark Land was the co-host last year. Really cool opportunity for us at Philcraft and me personally. But March 1st is the date that I started that in Florida. But it's also the date that I've been cleared by the docs at CPI, where I got stem cell. Now, just quickly for somebody who's listening to this who's like, what is he talking about? I got 4 disc replacements in my neck, C5 through 7, cleaned out and replaced. That has helped me profoundly, but I'm still recovering from that surgery. January 1, I got stem cell in Mexico to facilitate the healing and the growth. And I haven't been able to do anything in basically 6 months. I'm injured for a period of time and then migrating myself into eventually being able to do things. Following the protocol for 8 weeks, you can't do anything post stem cell because it's healing. On March 1st, I could start by doing basic physical therapy, but getting back into the groove of things. And as recommended by Scott from CPI, if you're more physically fit or were more physically fit, you could get into it more aggressively. Quicker.
Yeah.
I want to start your program March 1st. I want to track it all the way up until my first hunt, which will probably be September timeframe. Here it's early, like first week of September. Likely Deseret. Likely Bull Elk. What program would you recommend that's on the app now? And what are the things that I would need to do to tweak that to be prepared for this?
Yeah, that's awesome, because that's going to give you 8 months between March and September. And I think that, like, starting you off on a successful on-ramp will be the way to go, so that we're doing it in a really safe manner that leads to longevity. Because the worst way to, like, ruin a training plan to hit a September goal is to run into any sort of, like, injury or get nicked up. So I would start you on the Mountain Tough on-ramp. We have almost anyone start on Mountain Tough on-ramp now. And on-ramp is only 2 weeks, 3 workouts a week. So you're looking at just 6 workouts. And view the on-ramp as going back every year to football camp, like in the NFL, no matter if they're All-American pro NFL players or rookies, they're all going to start with that first, like, 2 week phase together, going through some really basic fundamentals, because, like, fundamentals lead to championships in sports. And so fundamentals in fitness are going to lead to biomechanically you moving in the right way, whether you've never trained before or training before is going to fire that up quicker. So 2 weeks on Mountain Tough on ramp. And then I would have you go to the minimal gear daily. So in Mountain Tough, we have programs that require full gym equipment. So we have programs where someone can take the app into their local gym, or they can take their app into their basement gym if they have the squat rack and a robust home gym. But I know how much you travel and how much you are on the road and how your schedule looks a little different each and every day. The Minimal Gear Daily is our most popular product now. It's just taking off compared to any other program we've ever done. And there's a few factors that make it really effective and addicting, and it being kind of addicting leads to a lot of effectiveness because people don't want to miss a workout. So with the Minimal Gear Daily, we were essentially trying to replicate that experience of going to a really great class, like a really great functional fitness class or a really great jiu-jitsu class, where you don't want to miss because you kind of want to see the guys and see what the guys are up to. And if you miss in a class, like a great community, you're like, man, I wonder what everyone did today. So the Minimal Gear Daily, all you have to do is hit play in Mountain Tough, and you will be fully coached by either me, Sarah, or one of our other coaches. And there will be two Mountain Tough athletes on screen too that you're benchmarking off of. So usually it's one male, one female, and then a coach. And as soon as you hit play, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to look at the app again. It's essentially like live personal coaching with minimal gear. So you hit play, we're going to coach you through the workout for today. You're going to be able to see how two other athletes are doing so that you know if you're kind of ahead or behind where your baseline is at. And then it only requires minimal gear. So the minimal gear is a step-up box or a bench, and then it's a set of dumbbells, a kettlebell, and a pull-up bar. So 99% of hotel gyms are going to have that equipment. Most people have that at home. Mm-hmm. Most people have one set of dumbbells and a kettlebell laying around. But that fear of missing out and it being fresh every single day, so it's loaded every night, and then it expires the next night. So if you don't do it, you're not even going to know what happens. So that fear of missing out really starts to build. The live coaching is a game changer, because even on a lot of great fitness apps, what you see all over the world right now is if I take my fitness app on my phone into a gym, like I went to a Salt Lake gym this morning, you just see people on their phones the whole time they're in the gym. They're not actually doing any workouts. Mm-hmm. So you want to break that down where you're not, like, you don't want to see texts coming through, emails coming through. So the ability to hit play and you're going, we're coaching you. There's no time to look at your phone after you hit play. So those distractions go away. And then every single month is a key phase that we're taking you through. So like the month might be leg endurance and capacity, and you're on that journey with us the whole entire month, all kind of building up to bow season. So for people with minimal gear, it's a complete game changing option. We're building the exact same thing right now with four people with full gear or home gym gear, because if I have a squat rack and a barbell and some plates and an assault bike, I still want that same experience. I just have more gear. So March 1st, we're launching the Gear Daily. It'll be the Mountain Daily, and then we'll have the Minimal Gear Daily. So that you'll be able to go back and forth.
On March 1st?
Yep.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
So you can bounce back and forth now. So if you're at a hotel that's got some good gear, you can go to the Gear Daily. If you're at a place that you can only find a dumbbell and a kettlebell, then you can go MGD. But it's just that ability to train with the whole entire community that's changed the game. Because all of our other Mountain Tough programs have been highly effective, and they're still excellent. They're all still in the app. And programs are great for folks that are pursuing that specific objective on that specific timeline. But what the MGD also did is there's like 10,000 people doing the same workout on the same day. And so then you have all those conversation points as well.
I'm looking forward to it, actually, man. I'm looking forward to it, and then sharing my experience on social and all the things to get people motivated, incentivized to, like, hey, do the challenge with me. Like, do those programs with me, because I'm doing them every day.
And I can't wait, man, to be off for this many months.
Yeah.
It's been driving me insane. I mean, just walking is a treat because I'm like, thank God I can walk. And I dream about like working out because it freaks me out. But I'm looking forward to it because I think your program is the best progressive path because it's so deliberate, so timely, and you could track it so intimately. And also I can call you and just get updates and stuff, all the cheat codes. So we have done a program together on each other's applications. Post this video, we're going to do that. But right after this, we're going to do a segment for the Philcraft Survival app on what you can do via the recommendations by Mountain Tough on being better prepared physically. You know, like how does physical fitness tie into preparedness? It's the foundation. But what does that mean? We'll be talking with Mountain Tough about that and then giving you guys all the education. It'll be on the app, the Philcraft Survival app, wherever apps are found, just like your app. Where can people find your app?
So same, we're native on all the app stores. So iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon, and people can start that trial just right through mountaintough.com as well. So start on mountaintough.com, create your account, and then you can download that on your iPhone for traveling and then like your smart TV at home for home gyms and living room workouts.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Look for the links down below and make sure you segue to the apps. Download both apps and so you could hear the good education and getting foundationally fit for your next hunt or just for life. Peace out, guys.
Who's gonna change it? There's a story.